number are you up to now? This is...
This is number seven.
Number seven. And we were chatting before, and you used the word that I was afraid of using, the M word, Michener.
Oh, don't be afraid, my God. I mean, the late, great James Michener is the guy who invented this genre, which is to say huge family sagas, taking fictional families, setting them against often many centuries of I hope, well-researched history, and telling the story so that you get the story of the family or families down the centuries, all their triumphs and disasters, romances, adventures, all the things that we storytellers love, and my God, some of these places lend themselves to that. You learn the history of the place, and I guess I would like to say it's also history made easy. So, and in all sorts of ways, technical ways, that guy invented how to do it. And I owe him a huge, grateful debt.
It's a big book.
It's funny. I mean, the first book, as you know, the first book I ever did was a book called Sarum. And then I did London and a couple on Ireland and one on Russia, actually, and another on the Forest, which is the New Forest, wonderfully called because, of course, it's 1,000 years old and so forth. Well, Sarum went from the Ice Age to the present day, a family saga of 10,000 years, and London was 2,000 years, and the Irish books from the time of St. Patrick to the present day are almost 2,000 years. So people said to me, you know, you're only doing four centuries
now. This one's so easy.
Right. Of course, actually, New York's history is so full of incident, it's so crowded, and it's also so varied. You know, we think of the great city with the skyscrapers, but of course, you're talking about an Indian hunting ground. You're talking about a little Dutch settlement and trading post. You're talking about an early English town, English port, 18th century. I won't say exactly genteel, but because it was New York was always had this wonderfully feisty character. You're talking about the place that was the British headquarters through the Revolutionary War, the War of Independence. And I should add in parenthesis, you know, my own Rutherford ancestors were actually Loyalists. I had some other ancestors who were Philadelphia Quakers. The Rutherfords split into two groups, two cousins. Some of the cousins remained, and Rutherford, New Jersey, it was spelt Rutherford, New Jersey. And my ones, the Loyalists in Carolina, lost most of what they had, left. They might have gone to Canada. Obviously, they didn't. They went back to England and finished up in New Zealand, where I have some 500 cousins. The other day when we went straight on the bestseller list in New Zealand, actually, I got a nice message from the New Zealand publishers saying we're on the bestseller list, and I just had to email back saying, yeah, I know, but you've only sold to the family so far. But anyway, I mean, there's another epoch-making event that happens in New York with the British headquarters being there, and there's a terrific story. New York was the place that opened up the West. The Erie Canal, the great railroads, organized by New York merchants. Interestingly, which people forget, financed out of London, because London in those days was still the center for all the finance, for financing the New World. New York becomes the great financial center on the back of the Civil War, and there's another huge story that takes place there, and I try to tell something of that story. Interestingly, again, typically New York, you know how feisty the place is. The wonderfully corrupt mayor of New York, Fernando Wood, they learnt their corruption. Of course, Tammany Hall, I like to remind people, actually learnt its corruption from the British governors that preceded. Actually, the Dutch were corrupt too, funnily enough. But anyway, he says, we don't want our trade with the South, you know, messed around with. And he threatened in 1861, the year after Abraham Lincoln came and made his great speech in New York, the mayor of New York says, we will secede from the Union and declare ourselves an independent city-state. Didn't quite happen, but could have done. You have the gangs of New York, the great blizzard of 1888. You have the numerous financial ups and downs, the crash of 1907, which is a wonderful story to tell. You have the building of the skyscrapers. You have the huge immigration. And I follow, I have an Irish family, hardly surprising, both from what happened in New York and the fact I'd written two books in Ireland and lived there. I have an Italian family, which is very close to my heart personally, as it happens. I have a Jewish family. I have a German family. People forget that at one time there were more people of German descent in North America than anything else, often forgotten, and various others who come through. Everyone comes through New York in search of freedom, and they usually find it. That's what's so wonderful. And the book moves forward through the wonderful culture of the 20th century, which happens to interest me very much, to a great climax with 9/11. So there's triumph and tragedy all through this, and my God, the book was supposed to be rather less than the 860 pages it is. I mean, I couldn't contain it in less than that.
The book is New York. It's a novel. I've been speaking with the author, Edward Rutherford, and New York, published by Doubleday Canada.